You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. How are we doing? Good? Tell you what, it's fall and this is the best time in the world, right? Isn't it? Yes. Yes, it is. I get to wear a fedora every day. Every day. Hey, glad you're in the house. If you're a guest here, so glad you're here. If you're joining us online, what's up? What's up? Yeah. And Metro 2, what's up? Woo! Excited you're here. Hey, really quick question to get us started. Okay, first of all, how many of you have ever been stoned? And one, two, three. Oh, wow. Okay, that's good. Bold people, I know. If you're wondering, yeah, Mosaic, this is a church. This is a church, and it's, I know. For some of you guys, you're like, you're giving me that nervous smile, like, does vaping count? I don't know. What's that? So I have been stoned. Especially growing up, a lot. And what I mean by stoned, I mean the old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way, like actually with rocks. So if you walked in with a rock, they gave you a rock or a stone. Yeah, let me explain. So if a fight starts, usually if someone throws a punch here in the U.S. or someone just kind of tackles you, back where I grew up in Kuwait in the Middle East, it starts with someone pelting rocks and stones at you. So growing up, man, I got stoned a lot. I did. I actually have a permanent scar on my eye by a rock hitting me. And so that's how we would solve issues, by just throwing rocks at each other. And so if you've ever read the scriptures and thought, oh, what's the stoning thing? Everybody wants to stone. It's a thing. It's a real Middle Eastern thing. And I got stoned a lot. The reason why I gave you one of these is because I wanted to ask you, could it be possible that you would like to stone someone else? Like, I mean, like maybe you're carrying a rock or a stone for someone who's hurt you, someone that you really like to hurt because they hurt you, someone who mistreated you, let you down, betrayed you, spent a lot of your time and effort, and they abused you, they did some things that you really would like payback. Could it be possible that you're carrying one or two or more of these stones? And so if you're wondering what we're doing here, we're in a series called Relational Intelligence, talking about some key things that really move us to have deeper relationships with each other. And so forgiveness is one of those things. And for so many of us, the reason why we're not having deep relationships and very secure relationships is because we're carrying stones. Stones to pelt, stones to hurt someone, not the person you're in a relationship with, maybe the one, not the ones, the good relationships, but there's someone that you really want to hurt. And the problem is like you're not in relationship with them anymore. You're not close to them anymore. But there's those people, they make you feel strange. It's when you're carrying a stone for someone when you see them across the street even, and you turn, you're like, I don't want to do this. They pop up on Facebook, and you're like, what? I defriended you, or unfriended you, or whatever, and you show up, and your heart skips a beat. Have you ever done that? Have you ever waited a little bit longer in your car because you saw them go into the grocery store, and you're like, do I really need food? I think God is saying fast, you know? I should fast. You feel just strange when someone mentions their name. Sometimes you know when you're holding a stone for someone or you're carrying a stone for someone when you're thinking about them a whole lot. You're talking about them, complaining about them. The relationship you're in right now and the people you're in right now and maybe the job that you're in right now, they hear a lot about what you did do. And what you were a part of, and how they did abuse you, or whatever. You just talk a lot about them. And you feel like you don't want any part of them, but you're holding on to them. And the reason why, the way you're holding on to them is because you're actually holding on to a stone that you'd like to hurt them, so you talk about them a whole lot. And sometimes it's not like you talk about them a whole lot, you know you're holding on when you really
you know, internally get seriously happy when you hear something bad has happened to them. And you hate it, but you love it. You're like, oh, that's so sad. Finally, something. You know, your ex-husband, and oh, something happened there. He lost his job. And you're like, oh, so sad. Not so much. You know you're holding on to something, right? The problem is when we hold on to these things, when we hold on to people, we hold on to these stones, and stones actually don't stay stones. They don't. I mean, you can collect them and keep them, but they don't stay stones. They actually become, what I believe, they become bricks. And bricks don't stay bricks. Bricks become walls. So stones actually become bricks, and bricks, what? They become walls. And walls, sometimes you feel like, oh, you're justified because they protect you. You're like, that's why I do that, because I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be mistreated. I don't want to be betrayed, humiliated. I don't want any of those things. So I'm actually having a wall, so now I have boundaries. The problem is that these walls that I'm talking about, they don't just protect you, they actually prevent you. They prevent you from receiving grace and forgiveness, laughter and joy, even God's presence in your life. These kinds of walls actually prevent us from having deep, wholehearted relationships. But they start with stones. You carry a stone for someone, and stones become what? I'm sorry, they become what?
Bricks.
Oh, I didn't hear you. What?
Bricks.
Bricks. And bricks become what?
Walls.
And walls, they don't just protect us, they prevent. They prevent us from really receiving God's grace. They were from satisfaction in life, from deep, deep relationships. So this morning, I want to talk about the person or the people that represent the stone that you're carrying. And for some of us, maybe it's not a person, it's you. Like, you don't forgive yourself because of what you did, because you're on the other side of it. You were the one who did this. And you couldn't believe you'd become that person, but you have. And you don't believe you did this, but you did. And you just don't forgive yourself. For others of us, this stone actually is not for yourself or for someone else. And it's actually for God. Like, there's something that's been allowed in your life and you've got to experience. And yeah, you have a lot of blame and you have a lot of hurt because for this person or that person and yourself, and it was complicated. But the bottom line is that you're just kind of reminded about the fact that you actually hold a grudge against God. And for some of us, it's very hard for us to admit that, but it's true, isn't it? We don't forgive God, that He allowed this. Terrible things to happen to us. And where in the world was He? And what's going on? And so that's why our spirituality is limited, because we carry this stone, and stones become bricks, and bricks become walls. And so now you actually are walled up, all protected, feeling a sense of security that's really false, but you don't even feel God's presence in your life. And you're here and you're listening just because you think it's the right thing to do, and you're wondering what's going to happen. So this morning, what I would love to do is have a conversation about, hey, could it be possible for you and I to just have a true, real, solid, authentic conversation about what would it take for you to drop this? What would it take for you to no longer carry this? What would it take for you to tear down the wall? Because it starts with one stone at a time. Could it be possible for you to do this? Because for so many of us, you thought you dropped it, but you picked it up again. And you've done so much. You've done so much trying to figure this out, but it does not really work at all. It does not, does it? Here, let me read you a passage of scripture. It's pretty interesting. This is Jesus talking about forgiveness. And in Mark chapter 11, verses 25, He says this: and when you stand praying, if you hold, interesting choice of words, if you hold anything against anyone, what's the word? Forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. This passage seems to say something that One, it confirms this idea that if we hold on to something, we prevent God's grace and forgiveness to reach us. But it also points to something else. I don't know if you noticed. It points to this idea that forgiveness is one of those things that God doesn't want you just to experience, but to possess. Because forgiveness in itself possesses a power that you need to actually possess and not experience. For example, there are some things that God will never do for you. There's some things God will never do for us because he wants us to really possess the peace that we're praying for and not just experiencing it. That's why if you notice there are certain things that God just fails to do and you're wondering, oh, God's timing. And he's saying, I'm not coming. It's not happening. Because so many times we want a peace, we want a power, we want a worry-free life, we want freedom from anxiety, we want to experience some things, and we're just comfortable with just experiencing things. And God's saying, listen, the reason why I don't do certain things for you is because I don't want you to just experience them, I want you to possess them. And forgiveness has this power that you and I need to possess and not just experience. And that's wrapped up in God's forgiveness of us. And so this morning, if there's any motivation for you and I to let go of the stone, it should be that you have the ability to possess, not just experience, not just like, oh, I'll go by and I'll kind of get a whiff of something, of a peace, of a life, or of freedom. No, you actually get to experience more than that. You get to possess a freedom. You get to possess a peace. You get to possess a sense of joy that you've never had before, but it requires you and I to do something, not for God to do something. Because so many times, you know this, we just want God to do something. And if, when it comes to people who've hurt us, we just want God to punish them, right? We just want God to get back at them and hurt them. And we want people to, I mean, honestly, for some of us, we want people to go to hell for what they've done to us. Have you noticed that there are humans want humans to go to hell more than God does? God's like, I'll do whatever it takes not for that not to happen. And we're like, oh, you go to hell, and you go to hell, and you go to hell. And Jesus is like, hey, let's not stop doing that. But there's got to be a better, way. And if you thought that maybe, no, Naeem, I have to experience this. If I just hurt them, I'll feel better. Vengeance, friends, vengeance might be medication, but it's not the cure. It's never the cure. And if you think time helps, oh, time heals what? That's not true. Ask your therapist. Because they bring up the childhood all the time. If time was the answer, then your issues from childhood should not even matter. But that seems to be the thing that matters. Time's not the answer. Vengeance is not the answer. There's something else that's the answer. And I think the scriptures allude to that and invite us to actually experience it. Let me show you. And so Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verses 11 and 12 says this. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so picture this. As high as the heavens are above what? The earth. So help me out with this. So what? Great is his love for those who fear him. And then he gives us another kind of a word picture, right? As far as the what? East is from the west. So far has he what? Removed our transgressions from us. So he gives us a picture. He's like, let me show you God's love is ever expansive. It's as far as the heavens, as high as the heavens above the earth. So it's kind of like this. He's looking up. And he's like, this, how far they are. The heavens keep going and going. That's how high. That's the breadth of, like, that's the expanse of God's love. And because of God's love, he takes our sins, our transgressions, the things that he could hold on to, our sins, and what he does is he doesn't throw them up there. He throws them from the what? East is to the west.
So there seems to be this picture of like, but as far as that, his love for us, because of that love for us, he takes the stones and throws them as far as the east is from the west. Ironically, the word forgive in Greek is the word that actually means to cast away. It's the word aphemi, which means to actually set aside or to send away. Forgiveness is more of casting something away, not to hurt someone, but casting it far enough, as far as the east is from the west. And so what God is saying is because of love, God's love, you need to, because I do, because of my love for you, I take your sins, your transgressions, and I toss them as far as from the east is from the west. And he's inviting us to do the same thing. If you don't see it here, let me show you a story, or take you to a story that Jesus, he makes up the story to illustrate a point. They're called parables. And this is in Matthew 18. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. This is the story. It starts off and he says, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?'" Great question, right? Seven times? Because that's a cool number, right? Seven times. That makes sense. Seven times. Says, no, not seven times. But what? 70 times seven. You think? Peter was like, you know I'm not good at math. You know, you did this on purpose. What is it? Carry over what? And how? What? And then Jesus goes on. He's like, basically, he's trying to make a point. He's like, you never hold on to unforgiveness. You never want to do that. You never want to do that. And then he goes on. He says, let me tell you this. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay it, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please, please be patient with me. I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. "Be patient with me. I'll pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in what? Prison. Until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his debt, entire debt. That's how, and then Jesus says, that's what my heavenly Father will do if you refuse to forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Now, there's been so many translations, there's so many commentaries on this, and you've heard different preachers and talk about what this really means. This is a made-up story. It didn't really happen. And Jesus is telling a story to illustrate a point. And so often we go, well, the king is God in the story, because obviously he is. And obviously that's wrong. It's not necessarily true. Jesus is not making that point. He's making a very profound point. He's making a point that he says that if the only way, that there's something that happens that to a human heart, a human soul, that should happen if you have experienced God's love.
But if you haven't experienced God's love, it is impossible for you to actually be a certain kind of person. What he's saying here is this. It's like he's saying, here's what this guy did. He was forgiven so much. He was forgiven so much. $1 million worth of things. Much more than he could ever pay back. But he didn't really think about how much he was forgiven. He just thought about how much someone else had taken from him. And so what he did was he spent his life or trying to figure out how to get this guy to pay it back, and he did. And he thought the vengeance would satisfy him, and it didn't. He says basically vengeance puts you in a prison. It puts you in a prison forever. And for so many of us, what we're doing is we have not forgiven the person. We are still carrying stones, and these stones have become what? Bricks. And these bricks have become walls, and we're confined, and we don't experience full, wholehearted, secure relationships is because we don't even realize how much we have been forgiven. And because we don't lean into that, because we don't understand that, because we don't sit in that and go, I can't believe what I have been forgiven, you still hold on to it. The reason why for some of us we are holding on to so much is because we have not sat in God's grace and God's love, and we don't even understand. And he's saying here, this is what happens when you don't understand and experience and fully acknowledge God's love for you, that how much God has forgiven you, how much you're not all that great, and how much you've hurt so many people. And you continue to, and you might even will in the future. If you don't understand the grace that's been given to you, there is no way you can forgive other people. Because forgiven people, totally people who know they're forgiven, have the courage to forgive people. It is when you understand that you have been forgiven so much, it gives you the power. It gives you the power to forgive other people. It's not when you go, you know what, they don't owe me and that's fine. Not when you deny it, not when you justify it. No. When you just go, okay, I'm just going to, they what they did was wrong, I get that. But they don't owe me, I get that. There's a tension that you kind of manage in the midst of a forgiveness. You don't deny it. It never happened. You don't make it less than it is. You don't think, oh, there shouldn't be any consequences. Of course there should be consequences. It's this idea that I've talked about before, how God forgives us. He carries us. When he carries us in his hands, he carries our holiness and our horror. Everything that we are, our unique, beautiful things that we are, and the horror and the ugliness of who we are and the things that we do and think about. He holds both of the things at the same time. And forgiveness is that hard. Forgiveness is going, I'm going to hold this person's holiness and horror. I'm not going to hold just one thing. I'm not going to say, well, you know what? They did this and it's okay and that's fine and they're unique and God told me to forgive them, so I'm going to deny what happened and they're unique and they're, you know, God's child, so I need to do this. You don't do that and just don't think anything about what happened. No, you carry both, because you just don't take that away and you go, no, I'm just going to look at their horror of how ugly and horrible they were and the abuser they are and the person that deserves death and deserves so much pain, and I'm going to look at their ugliness and it's going to say, I wish them the worst thing in the world because they hurt me so bad. And I'm going to just focus on this and focus on this and focus on this. You can never really truly forgive this way or that way. You have to hold both people's holiness and horror. Their holiness to know that, you know what? They are uniquely made. God loves them. And the fact that they abused you and they were wrong and childish and self-centered and they hurt you so much. But yet, Jesus died for them. You hold them both. You hold both things. And that's when you really forgive. It's when you understand God's love for you and your sin. It's the moment where you go, I am the worst of sinners, yet I am so profoundly loved. It is in that moment something illuminates in your soul. That's when you realize what kind of relationship Jesus wants to have with you. And what is God inviting you to? That's the moment. That's the very moment things change. But for so many of us, it's tough for us to do this, isn't it? It's so tough. It's so tough. There's another story. It's not a parable. It's actually happened. And one of the writers actually wrote this down. It's in Luke. And Luke records some of the stories of Jesus. And he talks about this one time where Jesus was at this dinner party. And there were people there, disciples, people, important people. But this woman walked in and she was beside herself. And she began to really go down on Jesus' feet and was crying. And then she pulled out this perfume. And it was very, very expensive, Luke writes, you know, because he was like, I paid attention to that. It's expensive stuff. By the way, why is perfumes and cologne so expensive? Does anybody know this? Why? I feel like gas should be more expensive. I don't know. Why, like, really? $45? Anywho. Okay. It's got to be the tears of angels or something. What is this? Anyways. So she takes this perfume, and if you know the story, she breaks it and pours it on Jesus and is crying and wipes his feet. And it's kind of a deal, such a big deal, where some of the men there go, what's going on? This is a little too much. And then they actually say, you know what? I'm just saying that this could have been, I mean, Jesus, you're awesome and all, you know, okay. But this money that you just blew, this extravagant, you know, waste of resources, you could have taken this and fed so many people. And instead, you did this. And they're kind of not mocking her, but they're talking about her. And I love what Jesus does all the time. You know, he always defends the person that everybody's against, right? Like, when like it's the craziest things. It's like, whenever there's a majority, he's on the other side. Like, what? Come back here. You know, like, but so he says a lot of things. And then if you know the story, he says to one of the guys who was thinking this, he goes, you know, he said, by the way, I know you're making a big deal about this, but, you know, you didn't do anything to welcome me. You know, you didn't even greet me right. Even based on custom, you didn't do a lot of things. This woman has wiped my feet with her hair and their tears, and she's anointed me with oil. And then he throws in, like, you know, I think it's like the, it's, yeah, Jesus is beautiful, because Jesus can sometimes be so harsh in such a loving way, right? He can call you such, he can be like, you're a terrible person, right? And you're like, yes, I am. You know, he's one of those. And so this is one of those lines. And he goes here, he says, let me tell you, verse 47, let me tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. As her great love has shown. And then he says, but whoever has been forgiven little, what? Loves little. He's kind of dropping this thing. Oh, yeah, I know why you're, I know, because you just love little. You see, she knows the amount of stuff that she's been forgiven, because she knows that she's been forgiven so much. Like, her sins were many. Your sins are not so many. Oh, you're perfect. You're good. But, you know, but her, she wasn't. And so she just loves much. And Jesus kind of gets under my skin sometimes, because I want to go, but I want you to hurt them, and I want them to feel, I want you to waste, the time they wasted, the years they wasted of my life, I want you to waste theirs. Like, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do this, because this will make me feel better. And Jesus is saying, I want you to understand something, like, the reason why you can't forgive is not because of the depth of what they did to you. The reason you can't forgive is because you don't know the depth of what you've been forgiven. But once you get that, once you feel that and the weight of it, you'll forgive. You'll love much. You'll forgive. Because you'll be consumed by how much God loves you. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can take a shortcut in this. Like, you get it easy, because you can have an experience with Jesus And it reminds you of how much he loves you and how much he's given and how much he continues to give. That should give you all the power in the world to forgive whoever of anything. What they did was wrong, but they don't owe you. You're not going to carry a stone. You're not going to carry a lot of stones. You're not going to do anything. You're just not going to do that anymore. But the question is, have you been forgiven much? Because if you haven't, then you won't love much, nor will you forgive. But I, for one, I know that I've been forgiven so much. So that's why it's tough for me to hold on to stuff. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. I mean, I've been in church work and ministry for like 20 years, and I've gotten some letters that come in, and I remember getting one letter. It talked about, like, it started with, you know, I've held this grudge against you for 5 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And I still don't even know what I did, really. But there are so many things. There are people, you can let people down and you not even know it. But I appreciate those letters because it's a healing process for them. It's great. I love that. I mean, but I also get people, you know, sometimes who just like, I mean, I get people sometimes like I'll be in the lobby of church or something, and then they go, you know, the next day, you know, I see them, but I sort of saw them and whatever, and they went, you went, walked by me and you didn't even say hello. All right, first of all, I need to go to the bathroom. Second of all, that's another talk entitled Get Over It. We'll talk about it later. I'm talking about real hurts. Real hurts. The real hurts, friends, take some work on our end. So are you up for it? Let me read you this passage in Colossians. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you what? Must forgive. Here, I think it's one of the clues of how to forgive. If you notice, when you read scripture, Jesus talks a lot about forgiveness, but he doesn't tell us how to do it. It's kind of like him all the time. On everything. Have you noticed that? There's never a 1, 2, 3. It's always a have fun. You know, like, stop doing this. That's good. Go and sin no more. How? Go forth. You know, like, what? I think the reason why Jesus did not go into the details is because it's very unique for everybody, and it depends on the person. It's so hard to forgive people who are close to you. Isn't it true? Oh, man. It's just easier to forgive strangers. It should be the opposite. Like, the people who you're the closest to, you should forgive fastest, right? Right? But we don't. I mean, at least I don't. Because they're closer, so the hurt is more real. Does that make sense? It's like, it's not like they shot me from afar. No, they stabbed me in the ribs as they were hugging me. You know, like that's why it hurts more. And I want to hold on to the hurt more. It's so hard. So hard. It's easier to forgive sometimes a company than it is a church. It's just unique. So how do we actually practice this? How do we live this out? I'll just give you, based on this passage, I'll give you I think what he's saying here. He's basically saying, here's what you need to do. You need to forgive fast and fully. You need to forgive fast and fully. And you have to learn to make it a habit. You have to learn to make it a habit. You just have to, it's just one of those things you got to learn to do. It's not something you will just do. You just have to learn. You have to make allowance. You have to continue to do this. And what this means is if someone hurts you, someone offends you, says something to you, and you're tempted to pick up a stone, don't. Don't pick up a stone. Don't pick up a stone. You just go, you know what? Don't pick up a stone. Let it go. 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 Forgive fast. Even though you don't feel like it, you just forgive. You just don't hold on to this, because by the end of it, you'll be holding on to more and more things. It happens in close relationships, in marriages. They just hold on to stuff. And here's how you know that you haven't forgiven fully. Because what you've done is you haven't thrown something at them, but you know what you've done? You're like, you know what? I'll take this and for another day. Not today. You're good today. But I got it right here. Got it right here. And then obviously these become more and more, and they turn into what? This. And then one day you have a fight and they swing around and they drop all kinds of stuff on you. Why? Because they've been carrying all kinds of things. They're stones. They've become big bricks, and now they're walled up. You got to forgive. You got to forgive fast, and you got to forgive fully. Now, as we end, I want to do something that we don't do a whole lot. I want to focus on who or what, or whatever. Maybe it's an organization, maybe it's a person, maybe it's yourself, maybe it's God, I don't know. Who represents this to you? Because this conversation is very complicated. Because for some of us, we're going, I am not buying this. Or you're saying, which I've had conversations with people about, I can't go there right now. I can't do this. This is too fresh. For some, you're like, you've been in counseling for so long, but you keep picking it up, and you just don't even know. It's become such a part of you. So I want to just acknowledge the fact that this talk is not enough. It's not enough. It just isn't. But I do want to say this. You will have to do something. You will have to do something with this. You could keep on carrying it. You could send it away, which is forgive. But you're going to have to do something. You're going to. Or you might have to just hold on to it for a little bit and have a very honest conversation about what this means and why you don't want to let this go. So I want to just pray with you for the next couple of minutes. I want to take some time and just kind of focus. So if you're watching online, if you're, just pray with us. Grab the stone that you have. Think about that person, those people. And let's just sit in this for a second. Let's close our eyes. Take this moment. God, I pray. God, we pray. We come to you. And God, you know who we're thinking about, and we really don't want to think about them. Especially, we don't want to think about even forgiving them. We just know that we have to do something. God, you know what I'm thinking. You know how I really want them to hurt. I really want them to lose. I want them to lose in life. That's what I want. I want them to finally come to terms with how much pain they've brought to people and to me. God, I want them to suffer. Honestly, you know that. I do. I want them to suffer. But I can't pray that. I mean, I can, but I know it's not gonna help. And God, sometimes I wish you were just more there. Like you saw it happen and you could have stopped it and you didn't. And I don't know why you didn't stop it. But so I don't know. What I do know is I have to do something with this, because I don't want to carry this. I wish it would hurt them, but it's hurting me. I wish it would ruin their relationships, but it's ruining mine. And I know that you're calling me to do it, so I'm doing it. I want to do it. I'm going to take this and send it away. Because of your love for me, it's as high as the heavens. I'm going to cast as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to cast their transgression, their sin. I'm not holding on to it anymore. God, give me the moment, the power to do it. Help me know that I've been forgiven so much, and help me forgive. God, I thank you so much for this time. As we sing this song, God, as we respond, communion, or if you go receive your love at the cross or light a candle, God, would you help us respond this morning? God, we love you. We thank you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.